This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. All through Lent, we've talked of being on the road with Jesus to Jerusalem and the cross. And that's a tough journey to make because we know what's waiting for him and us at the end of that road. As a matter of fact, we're at that point in John's Gospel where Jesus has already entered into Jerusalem. The hosannas of Palm Sunday are behind him, and the agony of Good Friday is just a few days away. I think there's a part of us that, you know, would just like to be able to skip right over this part of the story. We don't really like to have to hear about the death and suffering of Jesus. After all, we're resurrection people. Can't we just vault right over Good Friday and get straight to Easter? Well, the short answer to that question is no, we can't. Mostly because Jesus won't let us. Resurrection will come, and we'll get to it in due course. But for now, and especially in this lesson, Jesus would have us focus on the meaning of his death. Last week we talked about how in John's Gospel, Jesus doesn't have passion predictions per se, but he does refer three different times to how he will be lifted up. And today in our Gospel lesson, we're looking at the third and last time he makes that reference. And Christ says that it's by this act of being lifted up that he's going to draw all humanity to himself. I think it's interesting here that he's talking at this point to Gentiles, to non-Jews. These are the Greeks that Philip and Andrew brought to Jesus because they said they wanted to see Jesus. And here Jesus makes a special point of telling them that it's through his death that he's going to draw all people to himself, Jews and non-Jews alike. These Greek people are making a special effort to meet Jesus. In essence, they're saying to him, "We want to be your disciples." And with the arrival of these Greeks, we get just a little glimpse, a little preview of the church's future mission to the Gentiles. We get a little glimpse as to how all people have the promises from God. Everybody is included in God's promises if they're willing to receive them. But in this passage, Jesus is making it absolutely clear that this promised future requires his death. And maybe it comes as a little bit of a comfort. We see that Jesus, it really isn't all that squeamish about teaching about his own death. Ever since Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, he's been telling his disciples about it. The whole journey to Jerusalem, he's telling them what has to happen. And in this passage, he takes the time to instruct these new converts, these new Greeks, as to what it means to become his followers. And he uses farm images to do that. He talks about seeds. And he's telling these people how a grain of wheat has to fall to the ground and die. And we get that image. We're in a rural area. You know, we know that that seed goes into the ground, dies to itself as a seed, but then it can grow into a stalk where it can produce many seeds. In our text, it says, much fruit. In other words, the single seed has to die to produce the desired crop. What is the desired crop? In the Gospels, fruit is the way Jesus talks about our life together as a community of faith. He says, you'll know believers by their fruits, by the way they live their lives as part of the community of faith. Jesus knew that his physical time on earth was limited. His death and resurrection and ascension were real events that real people in the first century of Palestine, they witnessed that. But for the real power of those, the saving power of those events, for those to be known, his followers were going to have to spread the word. The church was a vital part of God's plan from the very, very beginning. The church was the fruit that came when Jesus died to himself and fulfilled his God-given mission. This is key. The saving power of Jesus' death resides in, and it's spread by, the very group that was formed as a result of it. The Greeks in our lessons wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to become his disciples. And Jesus granted them that gift of grace. But he also let them know that it was going to be through his death that all nations would be drawn to him. His followers, his church, would be how that word spreads. Because without the death of Jesus, there would have been no resurrection. There would have been no ascension. There would have been no church. Those very first Greeks were drawn to Jesus in his life, but they were bound to him in his death. And as always, you know, Jesus leads by example. By being willing to die to himself, he bore much fruit. That single solitary seed died and the church was born. You can make a case that those earliest believers, in fact, every believer to this day goes through very much the same process. It's only when believers die to themselves that God can use them to build his kingdom. And we could think about it this way. If it's all about me, if I'm just living for myself, if I'm just a solitary seed doing my own thing, it's going to be really hard for God to use me to build the kingdom. But let that seed be gathered with many seeds that are willing to die to themselves, and the kingdom of God grows. Great things begin to happen. As I thought about this message this week, it occurred to me that individual churches most certainly go through this process of dying to self so that they can bear much fruit. I think Mountain of Faith is a good example of this. This church, like all churches, has gone through seasons. And God calls churches to different things in different seasons. It's kind of easy for a church to kind of get into a little bit of a rut and to get accustomed to living comfortably in a certain season and just live as if nothing is ever going to change. But things do change. Pastors come and go. Key members come and go. Meeting places change. Mountain of Faith has certainly been through all these transitions and more. We move from one season to the next by dying to ourselves a little bit. Dying to the old self so that the new self can emerge. Then and only then can we bear the fruit that God calls us to bear in this new season. And now it looks as if God is calling Mountain of Faith to a new growing season with the potential to bear much fruit. But in order to move into that season, it's going to be necessary for us to die to certain ways that we've become accustomed to living together as a community of believers. God has brought us to a place where this congregation can seriously consider taking on the responsibility of owning our own church building. And I can tell you that this opportunity has come about suddenly, and things have moved faster than I could have ever imagined. Next week in our congregational meeting, we'll share all the details about what's been going on the last couple of weeks. But for now, just let me say this. Bonnie put me in mind of the parable of the talents as we thought and prayed about the possibility of having our own church home. If you remember that story, the master of the house goes on a journey and he entrusts his property to three servants. He gives them talents, a lot of money, to take care of while he's gone. And two of those servants, they manage those talents very well and they grow. And the master is very pleased with them. When he returns, he tells them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." What a great image that is. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Feels to me like Mountain of Faith has been faithful over the years. And some would say faithful over a little. Now, I can only speak for the 4 years that, you know, we've actually been together. But in those 4 years, there has been a lot of growth. There were several Sundays that first summer when the pickings around here were pretty slim. The church council had dwindled to only like 2 or 3 active members. It was an open question as to whether or not this congregation was going to survive. But survive we did. It took time, but eventually we got accustomed to sharing worship space with our Methodist friends. And slowly but surely, God drew people to us, and we gained strength. And all during this time, Mountain of Faith has been faithful over the little things. We faithfully preached and lived the gospel. And I have seen such tremendous spiritual growth in so many people here. And I would add myself to that group of people. It's just been a blessing to see the fruit born within this family of faith. Toward the end of last year, though, I was beginning to wonder if we had maxed out on the fruit that could be born given our current situation. After nearly 4 years, it seemed as if we were butting up against some physical constraints, some constraints of the space. This facility has served us well, but we may have hit the wall as to how much more we can grow here. Given the worship times available to us, the actual physical constraints of the building, the time that we're here, we're about maxed out. This year we really squeezed the schedule and we added a thriving adult Sunday school time. But you know, too often, despite our attempts to rush and hurry, the time that we take in Sunday school, the time that we take in worship, the time that we stay together and talk in fellowship, it takes us past the appointed hour that we're supposed to vacate the premises according to our lease. And so far, our Methodist friends have been very gracious about it. But I think what we're seeing is that we're kind of hitting the wall. It's becoming difficult to just be who we are. What I'm saying is that this congregation has been faithful to our ministry in this season. We've been faithful over a little. And now, just like in the parable of the talents, it seems like God is ready to set us over more. And here's the key. As we enter into this new season, as we make this transition, we'll be entering into the joy of the Master. God's joyful when His people bear fruit. It's what He's called us to do. And when we're in alignment with God's will, it makes Him happy. Parents love it when their kids succeed. And our Heavenly Father invites us to enter His joy when we take the gifts that He gives us and we put them to good use, when we use them to grow the kingdom, the good neighborhood to be in. So this week, as we prepare for Palm Sunday and the congregational meeting next week, I'm going to invite you just to stay in that Lenten discipline that we've been talking about this whole season. Just stay in prayer. Maybe you've noticed, all through Lent, we've concluded our prayers of the people with this phrase. We say, "Now is the acceptable time to offer our prayers to you." This week, I'd really ask you to ask God, is this the acceptable time for us to move into a new season together as a family of faith? Is now the acceptable time for God to set us over more than just a little? Is now the acceptable time to bear more fruit by moving to a church home of our own? Big questions for us. And if the answer to that question is yes, I just know that God will work out all the details. All the details about cost, all the details about timing, they'll fall into place. And we can talk about some of those specifics next week. But in the meantime, stay with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. Stay in prayer. Keep saying the Lord's Prayer every day. And just pray that God's will might be done, not just in heaven, but also right here in Tooele. and that we're wise enough to discern what that will is for us. Amen.